Good morning, St. Louis. This is Rich Orris, your host of the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am here today to answer all your burning questions about keeping your home in tip-top shape, whether you're planning a major renovation, maybe you need some tips on some routine maintenance you're facing, unexpected repairs. Boy, when you're facing them, you got a lot going on. We all hate when it's unexpected, but things go down, and maybe you need some advice on that. So I've got what you need today right here. We can get it done right for you. You can give me a call, like you said, 314-436-7900. Let's tackle those home improvement challenges together today. No question too big or too small. Don't be shy. And remember, a well-maintained home is a happy home. All right, so let's get those phone lines going. Again, 314-436-7900 is where you will find me today. And the cards are a little bit later in this afternoon, so we've got our full show, full time with you today. The Cardinals have been kind to us in the last few weeks with a little later scheduled time, so we've got all the time we need for you. And you know, last week we had some really good conversations going on. We talked to Linda about a really old wooden door that was swelling up, taking in the humidity. Kind of spoke about the 100% fix is rejuvenate, new door, whole new system to where you never have to look back at it. But had a few tips of what we do to try and maintain that also if you're not ready or willing to do a new door. There's some things you could do to try and help that out and get you through those seasons. So Carla called in. She wanted to know if it was possible to install a new screen door on an existing door that was pretty much out of square, not level. And we spoke about how difficult that could be. In a really common one we get into all the time, Looking at kitchens, we had Al who called in, and we kind of talked about the pros and cons of cabinets, new cabinets versus cabinet refacing on existing cabinets. What can be good? What can be bad? What to expect? That's really the big thing about all of these topics is what to expect is really setting good expectations is what we like to do. That just kind of helps get you the information. And when you know what to expect, then you know what could possibly happen or what's definitely going to happen. And you can do what you need to do, and you can make the right choice on which direction you head. But it's about knowing the whole thing. So we also talked to Bob about attaching a deck ledger board to the foundation or not. When should you do it? Why should you do it? When shouldn't you? Does it matter? How do you build it if you don't is a little different than if you do. And we kind of came to the conclusion that his is probably done the best way in his circumstance, and don't attach that and keep it the way it is. It's going to work out really, really well for Bob there. So a lot of great things going on. Another great, great question and conversation we had was Tony's question about workmanship warranties, talking about kind of our industry, what we do with the companies, how long are they? And we spoke a lot about the importance of, for us, putting it in writing, and for you, getting it in writing. If you're having work perform, have this stuff in writing, understand it. Don't even take my word for it, because when we put everything together, we try and set all those expectations and be as clear as possible. And everything is in writing, what it is, what's been picked, what's going to happen, how are we going to do it, so that we all know. We're trying to communicate down a couple different paths to a homeowner, trying to verbalize things to where they can understand, but also doing it in a way that field guys, trade partners, all these different people can understand what needs to happen. So we're trying to speak a couple different languages at the same time. That can get confusing enough if you really don't have it in writing and you don't know everything about it, then, well, you really could come into some problems of thinking that things should be taking place that just won't or weren't planned. And I've seen some doozies, let me tell you, on how to install things, how to do things, or just work that just isn't planned by somebody. And they come back and they're like, well, we just had nothing in there. We were not planning on performing this task. And occasionally that task is something that's really should have been and is something that you couldn't do the project without. So you kind of look at it and you think, well, how could this not have been a part of that? I talked to someone last year sometime, probably the worst case story that I've heard in the past year. And it was, they had a pool house. They were having a pool put in. They had a pool house drawn up by an architect, everything they wanted. So they had a company come in, they're building the pool house, and they came back to him and said, oh, well, we didn't have the drain going to your house, and how are we going to drain the bathroom and the sink and everything in this pool house? There was a big change order to add getting the drain from the house into the existing house and tying into the drains in the ground and making it work. And how do you plan to build a pool house that has a bathroom in it without a drain? It's a big thing to forget, but unfortunately we hear and we see these things all the time. So what you think you're getting, if it's not in writing, you're having a pool house built and you've got everything in writing and you're reading and it doesn't say we're going to do a trench underground, we're going to put in a 4-inch drain pipe underground, a sewer lateral that goes to here, and this is how we're draining that bathroom, then they might not be planning to drain that bathroom and could come back later. It's unfortunate. It happens sometimes accidentally, but it just does, and no one's happy when that happens. So we covered a lot of ground last week, and we can plan to do the same thing this week. With your help, your stories, your questions, we'll be here. We've got the whole 2 hours today. You can find me right here, right now, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 from far away. Let's get into our first break here, and we've got more things we can talk about, go over, and take your calls when we return right after these messages. All right, here we go. We're back. Camo X Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you, and plenty of things we can do today for everyone out there. Feel free to give me a call today, 314-436-7900. We've got Jim on the line. Let's see what's going on with Jim. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hey, here's my question. So sure. My son bought a house in Missouri. It's a two-story home. It has two furnaces and two air conditioners that are both in the basement. But we know it's usually warmer upstairs just because that's the way things work. But it's extremely warm upstairs. He had an HVAC person come over, and they checked everything out, said everything was okay, and they determined that his problem is he doesn't have enough insulation in the attic.
Oh, sure.
So my question is, two questions. One, they said he's only got about 6 inches of insulation up there, and they want to come in and put another 9 inches on top of that. Which would be about 15 inches. Is that enough? Number one. And number two, I mean, you think that makes that big of a difference that would cause that problem?
Oh, so yeah, twofold question, two very good questions. And it is very good to ask about this so that you understand exactly what's happening. Because The answer on the 9 inches of insulation is yes and no, and it depends on the type of insulation that they're putting in. So if they're going over top of the insulation that is there and they're using a cellulose blown-in insulation, it's kind of like the paper stuff. It's made, it's thicker, it's denser.
Right.
So if they're using cellulose, the 9 inches will do a very good job. I would still say a little bit more wouldn't hurt if they went to 10 or 11, because that insulation will kind of compact down over time, and it won't really lose its R value. It'll compact tighter. It'll block air better, and it'll really seal things up pretty well. So 9 is good. Another inch or two wouldn't hurt. I wouldn't go beyond that, because the 6 inches that's below, you'll have a lot of R value with the two combined. So, but that is a good way to do it if that's what they're using. If they're using a fiberglass type of insulation or like a wool, light, fluffy type, some of those are anywhere from 18 inches to 24 inches thick because they're so light and fluffy. Yeah. So yeah. Hopefully they're using cellulose.
And they are. They are using that.
Yep.
Yeah. And is it okay to just put it over the old stuff? Should you remove the old stuff first, or is it okay just to do that?
So here's my method of how I do insulation on top of insulation, because there's a lot of different ways to insulate an attic. But in the honor of trying to stick with any kind of budget, because the better you get and the more you do, the more expensive it gets. What I typically say to do, kind of on that middle of the road, good insulation value, is they basically bring a broom or a rake up into that attic and you pull that insulation, that 6 inches of insulation, away from the border of the house where the soffits and the edges of the house are. You just pull it back a foot or so. And and so what happens is you blow that full insulation around the edges of that cellulose, and then you cap over top of the rest of it with that 9-10 inches, and that'll create a good air sealer, a better air sealing ability at the edges of the house where air gets in, and then it caps it all and gives you a great R value throughout the entire ceiling. Another thing that can be helpful in the steps that I take in doing something like this is if you find all the can lights, all the light fixtures, any wire penetrations, any hole in that drywall or the 2x4s going down into the walls, any penetration you can find, if you move that insulation out of the way and you air seal that with like a can of the low expansion foam, you fill the holes. If there's a wire coming through a hole in a wall, you just fill that so that air won't come back up through there, because air moves and it creates problems. And a lot of times the heat penetrating in the air movement along with such a low R value is why that second floor is so hot. Now, once you do that and you've insulated well, there's still two things you got to watch out for. So if you have a whole house attic, like a whole house fan in the attic, in the hallway on that second floor, that is a major, major energy sucker. You will get so much heat on that second floor. So depending on the age of the house, and do you know if on that second floor in the hallway, there's like a metal louvered attic fan with a switch? Is there?
No, there's nothing. No,
okay.
There's nothing like that. But the company that's going to do this, also they're going to put a fan up in the attic that comes on when the attic reaches a certain temperature.
So if they do that, then what I would definitely suggest is when you go through that attic, I would suggest sealing that attic, like I spoke about, with those cans of the expansion foam insulation. You need to seal off anything where air could transfer from the second floor into that attic. And I'll tell you, because of this fan, if it gets too hot in that attic and that fan kicks on, if you haven't calculated how much air you're getting into that attic from a natural source around the edges of the house, it will pull the air from the second floor into the attic. If it's trying to blow out and it's a powered fan and all of a sudden you've got so much air movement, if it doesn't have enough openings to get that air from outside of the house, it will steal the air that it needs from inside of the house. So if your attic's ventilated properly, you really don't have to have that fan. If it works and it ventilates properly and you insulate well. So another spot to take a look at is the attic access from the second floor into that attic. Because that's another spot. It's kind of like that whole house attic fan. You've got a hole in your ceiling. It's usually in like the master bedroom closet or the hallway or something like, or a closet and hallway. If you've got a hole there that a person can fit through and it's just a piece of drywall sitting on trim, that's a big air leaker. So when that fan kicks on, it's going to be sucking air from around that attic scuttle lid, we call it, that piece of drywall. So what I'd recommend there, and what I do when we insulate an attic like this, is first on that trim, you put a little weather stripping, kind of just like the door stuff that's maybe a quarter inch thick and it's a sticky back. So you put that on each piece of the four pieces of trim so that when you set that lid, that drywall, plywood, whatever lid back down, it has a little bit of air sealing capability. That'll help. And then on the back side of that drywall, you glue thick foam board insulation. You cut the squares the same size as the drywall, and maybe it's an inch and a half or 2 inch thick sheet of a foam board, like a stiff, rigid board. You cut those squares and you stack enough of them up there and you glue them on there. So this is going to be about a foot thick on top of that lid. But now that it's on there and it's attached and it's glued, every time you move that lid and you put that lid back, that insulation value will go with it. Okay. What commonly happens is they lay a piece of bat insulation over that lid. First person that goes up there doesn't put it back. And you lose so much there. So if you think in terms of separate the second floor from the attic space, because the attic space is outside. Even in that attic, it's considered the exterior of the home. It's outdoor air. So you want to seal and separate at that ceiling line. That ceiling line is the envelope of your house. That's the line where you want to have separation. So if you can air seal that, every chance you get, every light fixture, every can light, any wire that penetrates, anything you can find, and insulate it well and do those things to the attic scuttle lid, it will absolutely help that second floor for sure.
Okay.
And the other thing I would look at later down the road is windows on the second floor is another big leaker of air. If you can, in the hottest part of the summer, look at the windows through an infrared gun, that might be so this attic is a large piece of what's happening, because that is a very low insulation value, but there could be other areas. And those windows, the attic and the windows, are going to be the two areas that will help that second floor the best.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you very much.
No problem. You're welcome. Great, great question. Something very common, something we do here at Mosby all the time for all sorts of people. We're always trying to help these issues and figure these issues out. So We've insulated an awful lot of attic spaces to make homes work properly and better, and just keep people more comfortable and happier in their homes. So again, let's get into our middle hour break here. You can find me, don't forget, don't be shy, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back, hopefully with some more questions. All right, we are back, having a lot of fun, a lot of great topics here we can go through. Hopefully a lot of great questions and little jobs and things around your house that you might need help with. Feel free to call in, and I'm here to help you out with that. Got plenty of time for everybody today, 314-436-7900. And thinking about the situation we just spoke about with Jim, and especially on the second floor of a house where all the heat rises, so it's just getting up there. It is harder to control on the second floor with that HVAC unit and keeping up with the comfortable temperatures up there. And so another step, like we were mentioning, is the windows. Depending on the windows, the type, the age, if it's a builder-grade window from the 80s or 90s, you're probably getting a lot of heat in around it through the glass. If it's been replaced for a newer window, you can still have a lot of energy deficiencies, not efficiencies. When newer windows are supposed to be more efficient, but depending on the type of install, it can really be more deficient in its energy than if it's supposed to help you. And there's different types of ways to install windows, and some are fine, some are better than others, and how they block air infiltration and rain and water infiltration. So there's a lot that can come into basically three different installs and types of installation methods of installing a replacement window. So for Jim's son, he could think he has really good windows, and they could be really good energy efficient windows, good glass, really keeping the temperature out. But if there is space around those windows and they did a standard kind of replacement window installation type in a vinyl sided house, which is typical to probably 60 something percent of the homes in St. Louis, Missouri, and more than 60% of the replacement window installs is how they do that, then yes, there could be air coming in around those windows. So you can have a really nice, really good, high energy efficient window, and when it's 98 degrees outside in the dead of summer, July, August, and you put an infrared gun and look at that window, you might see just a whole bunch of hot temperature air just infiltrating in around that window, coming into that room, that bedroom, the hallway, wherever they are. And basically a bead of caulk to drywall is the only thing trying to keep that air and that temperature difference out. And those bead of caulks go bad. They crack. The window moves and shrinks and gets a little bigger and smaller at times. So it breaks the seal of that caulk. And you could be getting a lot of heat and losing a lot of energy in and out around a very good new installed window. So I just had a client of mine where she was looking to replace three windows in her master bedroom, and two of those windows are on a wall that we fixed for her in 2009. She had a leak from the wall going into the walk out of the basement and the walk out door, and we replaced the door. We flashed it right. We took all the siding off above it and flashed the windows and sealed everything from the outside to keep water outside of there. So she hasn't had a leak now for 15 years. And now she wants to replace those two windows. And I'm going, oh, we need to make sure we do the best window install we can. We need to remove siding. So we've got a type of install that is very different and is really above scale and will help keep water and air infiltration out of your home and a window. And I kind of explained, you'll be going back to the way you were 15 years ago if you do a standard kind of pocket install of a new window that doesn't have, it's not new construction style and it's not flashed and keeping that water and air out. So think about how your windows are installed when that happens. And even the best window can still kind of deficient and go backwards on keeping your second floor of your home and or first floor comfortable for you. So, hey, we got Rich on the line. Let's jump on here real quick and see what's going on. Rich, are you there? What's happening?
Yeah, actually, your listeners could probably get bored. I have another question related to attic insulation and things like that.
Sure.
We had 10 years ago, we had the roof replaced, and we thought it was a great idea to put the ridge vent in.
Uh-huh.
Also had the gutters replaced, but the guy had never suggested, what is that, not fascia, what's the other thing?
Well, like the soffit fascia material. So there's a fascia board that the gutter attaches to.
Right, and it's parallel to the ground, right? That's what this, the soffit is, right?
Yeah, that's the soffit, correct.
Okay, all right. Well, we didn't have that done. I never even thought about it. So since then, and maybe even a little before then, we're finding on the second floor a bunch of nail pops. And my wife actually heard on one of the TV shows that could be caused by too much, you know, not having the right good ventilation in the attic. Is that true at all, by the way?
It's definitely without good insulation value and without good ventilation, basically the heat can cause that and a little movement in the drywall. But nail pops are also a lot of circumstance of how that drywall was installed. Was the drywall glued? And in the field anymore, you should use screws instead of nails. So some of those nail pops are just because of age and the wood is letting go of that nail and it's just starting to slide down.
So either way, we need to get that fixed. But here's my real question. We have the ridge vent. We do not have, and we still have the, at the top of the two gables at the end of the house, we still have the vents that were built in the house 39 years ago.
Okay.
So we don't have proper ventilation, that's for sure. And we have the original insulation as well. So I was thinking about, like, I read somewhere, a thing called bird holes that could be put in, kind of in place of the fascia, which to put in now, we'd have to take the gutters off. Have you heard of those things? Are they worth doing?
Is it just like a round circular, you drill a hole and you put this cap in it that has little louvers on it?
Well, I would think it'd go higher. It'd be more like a piece of PVC pipe to go up into the attic a bit, really clearing the whatever insulation you have there so that it doesn't get covered with insulation or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So gaining. All right. We are back having a lot of fun. A lot of great topics here we can go through. Hopefully a lot of great questions and little jobs and things around your house that you might need help with. Feel free to call in, and I'm here to help you out with that. Got plenty of time for everybody today, 314-436-7900. And thinking about the situation we just spoke about with Jim, and especially on the second floor of a house where all the heat rises, so it's just getting up there. It is harder to control on the second floor with that HVAC unit and keeping up with the comfortable temperatures up there. And so another step, like we were mentioning, is the windows. Depending on the windows, the type, the age, if it's a builder grade window from the 80s or 90s, you're probably getting a lot of heat in around it through the glass. If it's been replaced for a newer window, you can still have a lot of energy deficiencies, not efficiencies. When newer windows are supposed to be more efficient, but depending on the type of install, it can really be more deficient in its energy than if it's supposed to help you. And there's different types of ways to install windows, and some are fine, some are better than others, and how they block air infiltration and rain and water infiltration. So there's a lot that can come into basically three different installs and types of installation methods of installing a replacement window. So for Jim's son, he could think he has really good windows, and they could be really good energy efficient windows, good glass, really keeping the temperature out. But if there is space around those windows and they did a standard kind of replacement window installation type in a vinyl sided house, which is typical to probably 60 something percent of the homes in St. Louis, Missouri, and more than 60% of the replacement window installs is how they do that, then yes, there could be air coming in around those windows. So you can have a really nice, really good, high energy efficient window, and when it's 98 degrees outside in the dead of summer, July, August, and you put an infrared gun and look at that window, you might see just a whole bunch of hot temperature air just infiltrating in around that window, coming into that room, that bedroom, the hallway, wherever they are. And basically a bead of caulk to drywall is the only thing trying to keep that air and that temperature difference out. And those bead of caulks go bad. They crack. The window moves and shrinks and gets a little bigger and smaller at times. So it breaks the seal of that caulk. And you could be getting a lot of heat and losing a lot of energy in and out around a very good new installed window. So I just had a client of mine where she was looking to replace three windows in her master bedroom, and two of those windows are on a wall that we fixed for her in 2009. She had a leak from the wall going into the walk out of the basement and the walk out door, and we replaced the door. We flashed it right. We took all the siding off above it and flashed the windows and sealed everything from the outside to keep water outside of there. So she hasn't had a leak now for 15 years. And now she wants to replace those two windows. And I'm going, oh, we need to make sure we do the best window install we can. We need to remove siding. So we've got a type of install that is very different and is really above scale and will help keep water and air infiltration out of your home in a window. And I kind of explained, you'll be going back to the way you were 15 years ago if you do a standard kind of pocket install of a new window that doesn't have, it's not new construction style and it's not flashed and keeping that water and air out. So think about how your windows are installed when that happens. And even the best window can still kind of deficient and go backwards on keeping your second floor of your home and or first floor comfortable for you. So, hey, we got Rich on the line. Let's jump on here real quick and see what's going on. Rich, are you there? What's happening?
Yeah, actually, your listeners could probably get bored. I have another question related to attic insulation and things like that.
Sure.
We had 10 years ago, we had the roof replaced, and we thought it was a great idea to put the ridge vent in.
Uh-huh.
Also had the gutters replaced, but the guy never suggested, what is that, not fascia, what's the other thing?
Well, like the soffit fascia material. So there's board that the gutter attaches to.
Right, and it's parallel to the ground, right? That's what this, soffit is, right?
Yeah, that's the soffit, correct.
Okay, all right. Well, we didn't have that done. I hadn't even thought about it. So since then, and maybe even a little before then, we're finding on the second floor a bunch of nail pops. And my wife actually heard on one of the TV shows that could be caused by too much, you know, not having the right good ventilation in the attic. Is that true at all, by the way?
Yes, some. It's definitely without good insulation value and without good ventilation. Basically, the heat can cause that and a little movement in the drywall. But nail pops are also a lot of circumstance of how that drywall was installed. Was the drywall glued? And in the field anymore, you should use screws instead of nails. So some of those nail pops are just because of age and the wood is letting go of that nail and it's just starting to slide down.
So either way, we need to get that fixed. But here's my real question. We have the ridge vent. We do not have, and we still have the, at the top of the two gables at the end of the house, we still have the vents that were built in the house 39 years ago.
Okay.
So we don't have proper ventilation, that's for sure. And we have the original insulation as well. So I was thinking about, like, I read somewhere, a thing called bird holes that could be put in, kind of in place of the fascia, which to put in now, we'd have to take the gutters off. Have you heard of those things? Are they worth doing?
Is it just like a round circular, you drill a hole and you put this cap in it that has little louvers on it?
Well, I would think it'd go higher. It'd be more like a piece of PVC pipe to go up into the attic a bit, really clearing the whatever insulation you have there so that it doesn't get covered with insulation or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So gaining a ventilation intake from under your soffits is really done well and better from the soffit underside instead of that fascia board. It's better to be done from the underside of the soffit and what that soffit material is and making sure that you have, like, you had a good thought on that pipe going all the way up, because if you get a hole through a fascia board, it might not make its way into the attic. So if you have insulation, if you have blocks up there in the way the house was framed, sometimes you got to cut out and take out some wood to get the air going where you need it to go. So the intake ventilation you're looking for is better accomplished from the soffit material that's facing the ground rather than the fascia that the gutter's attached to.
All right, but we don't have that fascia, the plastic fascia, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
which I guess we could install, but it seems to me we do have to partially take the gutters off, and maybe it's worth doing that. But how does the air get from there into the attic? We still have to have some kind of a path for the air, do we not? Or is there a path for the air that I don't realize?
So not always. In a newer home, they're creating that path for the air now because we know more than we did 30, 40 years ago. So you're probably going to have 2x4 blocks on the top of your wall that's blocking off air getting into that attic from down low. So if you take off the soffit material that you have covering all that up, that's kind of under.
Which we don't have. We don't have soffit.
Oh, so you've just got, you can see the underside of the plywood and it's painted?
Yep.
Yeah, so you definitely then, so what you're talking about is the 2x4 that's between the trusses or the rafters called a bird block.
Okay.
And they put them in there to keep insects and birds out of your attic. So probably the best thing you could do is you knock those boards out of there and you put in a kind of a air, like a baffle thing that allows air to get up past the insulation into the attic. And then you do your soffits, install a soffit material, but it's a fully vented material that will let air through all the way down that whole run. And that will then match that ridge vent and give you enough air coming in to match that, how much air can leave.
Okay. That's okay.
That'll be your best bet.
And we need new insulation, I would say, since it's 39 years old.
Yeah.
What kind of a contractor could we call for? I mean, would the insulation guys do that, or?
So it depends on the type of service that you're looking for. An insulation contractor, any insulation company can do the insulation in the attic. They would also be the ones that I would tell them install those baffles that will let the air from the soffit area up into the attic, because they'll do that at the same time. So you can either find an insulation company that would do that, and then you find a siding company that would do your soffits, the wood out of the way and install fully vented soffits, or you find one company like Mosby Building Arts that would just handle the whole process for you and say, we'll get the insulator in, here's what we're doing, here's how we're going to do it to make sure it works. We do the exterior soffit, all that, and we handle the entire project for you. That way, if something goes wrong, you're not finger-pointing between who did what wrong and why isn't my stuff working.
And you guys can do a project that small. I mean, it's a two-story house. So, I mean, it's not nothing, but it's...
Yep, absolutely. I would at least for the conversation say it'd be a great idea to have one of our guys out to kind of talk about it. So,
last quick question, whether it was up Dakota or not, 39 years ago, the upstairs bathroom vent just right into the attic. There's no, I know codes these days require a vent to the outside somehow or other.
Yes, it does. And that is something that we can do. And Rich, I got to get to a break here, but I'll talk about that fan vent after this break. If you want to hold the line, I can talk to you with it. If not, you could just listen and I'll talk about what has to happen with that vent. Okay.
Yeah, I'll probably just hang up and listen. I was listening before.
Perfect. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Rich. Yeah, we're going to get to our break. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. A lot of stuff going on. After this segment, there's a whole nother hour for everybody out there. You know where to find me, 314-436-7900. I got a little time here that I'm gonna finish up on that attic insulation, air movement, ventilation, and the exhaust fan for the bathrooms. So when you have an exhaust fan in the bathroom, typically any house older than 10 years or so is pretty much probably dumping that air into the attic. Another typical way that they do that is they run the pipe over kind of to the end of the roof. A lot of times they dump it down at the soffit, and that's not a great spot to put it because they think it's going to blow that air outside. But as we were just discussing, your soffits are your intake. So if your attic ventilation is working well, it's going to pull that air right back into the attic. Now you're trying to move warm, wet, moist air from a bathroom through an attic and out. So the best way to do that, and what Rich was alluding to, that this is something that we have a very particular system of what I do in order to handle this. You want to take that bath fan straight up, straight out through the roof in the shortest run possible, as quickly as you can get it there, with as little bends, little turns as you can do, to move that air very quickly. And on the roof, you'll put a roof damper that's kind of a door that hinges shut. It's got a little spring, so when the air is blowing, that door will open. It'll blow the air outside. It kind of looks like, for car people, like a hood scoop on the front of a 69 Chevelle or something like that, kind of this little square box, and it lets that air out. Now, our method, because you have a metal pipe in a roof that's considered in your attic, that's considered outside of the home, it's outside of the envelope, it gets very cold in the winter, it gets very hot in the summer. So what happens is that pipe condensates and it drips water. It will literally produce water and drip water down. So we insulate that pipe and completely cover that pipe. We have a really good specific way to accomplish that. And then in the pipe near the top towards the roof, we put a backdraft damper, kind of like a balloon, that when air is blowing one way, it will let it out. But when air tries to force its way back in, it will seal up and not let that air in. So if that backdraft damper stops air from infiltrating in, that's a good thing too. Then we put that on a timer switch. When you walk out of the bathroom, you let that bath fan run for 20, 30 minutes, get rid of that moisture. It goes to the outside of the house. Everyone's happy. You're happy. Less mold and moisture in the bathroom. Less mold, moisture, humidity in your attic. healthier home, happier home. Everybody's great. That's my method of taking care of something like that that seems very simple, but it's really not. So, hey, we got a whole nother hour coming up. You can find me 314-436-7900. We'll be back after the news.